Come on, you guys got to get a little bit more excited than that. Hey, how about we give a clap offering for Jesus Christ? Yeah. Now, I did want to say, my mom told me earlier today, she said, you cannot mention that I'm here, because she said every time you do it embarrasses me. So I'm not going to do that. All I'm going to tell you is the lady on the front row had me 51 years ago, and she may or may not be my mother, so I'll let you guys determine that. I love you, Mom. Streaming lies. You know, last Wednesday, if you were here, Pastor Bob talked about the devils that hide. So I thought this week I would talk about streaming lies. Now, anybody, who gets on the internet here? eBay. So the thing is, has anyone in here ever live streamed an event before? What live streaming means, it means that you could watch a church event live, you could watch a concert, you could watch someone give a speech. So the thing is that the devils and his demons will constantly try to stream lies into our life. So the question becomes for us, are you listening to the devil's podcast? Because we're always listening to something. Now, when we hear about the devil, sometimes, you know, I think in our world today, it's almost like the supernatural is so watched and people watch shows about the supernatural that we start to think of the devil after a while like he's not even real. He's a Hollywood character. But we forget he is real. He's been around for a long time, and he knows how to stream lies into our lives. The question is, are we listening to him? Jesus Christ said this about the devil and his followers. John 8:44. For you are the children of your father the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. So when I first read that, I was like, how could Lucifer be a murderer from the beginning? Does that mean he was bad from the beginning? Actually, what Jesus Christ is talking about is right after his fall, he became a murderer. If you remember, he brought sin into the world by deceiving Adam and Eve. Then he immediately got Cain to kill Abel. I don't know if you know this or not. If you look in the Bible, it says that Lucifer means the anointed cherub that covers. Now think about this. The anointed cherub that covers. Satan goes about accusing who? The brethren. So before his fall, he covered. Now he uncovers. So when you start to listen to lies, you start to feel exposed. Who in right now feels exposed in their life? Who feels like, I'm no good? It doesn't matter what I think about myself, what someone else may say to me. Like, who right now feels just down? And you know when you feel down, I don't know if you guys are like this. I've had bouts of depression before in my life. And you know when you have bouts of depression, you almost feel like you're in a hole that you'll never get out of. So what the devil does is, as we start to believe the lies, we start going, it's always going to be like this. It's never going to change. The circumstances will never change. But see, those are lies from the devil. Listen to what else Jesus says. He said, he has always hated the truth. Jesus Christ is truth. He says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when he says he's always hated the truth, that means the devil hates Jesus Christ and anyone that represents him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. What I love about Jesus Christ is no matter what was going on in his life, he stayed focused. Who has a hard time staying focused in here? How many guys in here, when you're trying to watch TV and your wife starts talking? I know, I'm trying not to, Norm. I get to spend time with Norm and Ruth every Monday, and it's just interesting to watch them because how long you guys been married now? 31 years. So they have a lot of years of arguments and forgiveness and love, and so And so do we. We're coming up on 15 years. 15 years, yeah, in July. Yeah. But the thing is that if you start to believe lies, after a while, they become a truth in your life. So, you know, what I was going to say is when you're watching TV and your wife goes, hey, are you listening to me? Right? Every guy in here knows. Maybe your guy in here and your girlfriend. Yeah, Pastor Ed's raising his hand, yeah. So what do as guys? We repeat what they want us to say. The thing is they go, no, no, you may be able to repeat it, but you're not listening. So see, that's the thing is, if we start listening to the wrong thing, in our own mind and our heart, we start to repeat it. We start going, I guess that's just the way it is. But see, Jesus had such focus, it didn't matter whether Judas, Peter, the Pharisees, or the devil himself tried to trip him up. He stayed focused. His thing was to stay focused on the Father. Paul said, I press towards the high calling of Jesus Christ. Who in here is a Christian? What are we pressing towards? The high calling of Jesus Christ. So no matter what the enemy tries to tell you, he's a defeated foe. Jesus Christ exposes him in John 8:44. So if you have a defeated foe, the only way he can beat you is if you start to listen to the lies. You may say, I cannot be like Jesus. I don't have the ability to focus like him, but I'm going to tell you, Jesus actually can answer that problem for you. John 14, verses 25 and 26. I am telling you these things now while I'm still with you. But when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, we all have the Holy Spirit that are Christians, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I've told you. Isn't it awesome to think, George, that we have the same Holy Spirit as Jesus Christ? We don't have a little Holy Spirit. We have the same Holy Spirit. And what I find amazing is that Jesus felt it necessary to leave so he could send the Holy Spirit to be with us. So when you know you have that, no matter what you come up against, you can always escape. You can always have an answer. And I think the enemy wants us to feel like we're trapped and we can never get out of it. Is there anyone in here right now that feels trapped in your circumstances? You know, me and Susanna, I think I mentioned this. I mentioned a few weeks ago that we owe a lot in taxes. We actually just had to sign an extension because we owe $26,000 in taxes that's due April the 15th. Then I'm an independent medical salesman, and I've been doing that for 17 years. And anybody that owns a business knows you've got to pay quarterly taxes. So not only the $26,000, we owe for the first quarter of 2016, which is another $10,000. So I could listen to the lies and go, my Father is not providing. You ever have times in your life where you go, you know, if you lose a job, if you lose a spouse, if a relationship breaks up, you go, my Father's just not there. See, the enemy wants us to believe that. But what we have to realize, it says in the Bible that the wealth of a man is his strong tower. But the Bible also says this, that God is a strong tower. So the question becomes, do we run to our wealth, our stuff, or do we run to him? Because when you run to him, no matter what your circumstances is, all of a sudden $36,000 in taxes seems very small because he owns it all. But what the enemy wants us to do is to focus on what we don't have instead of who we do have and who has us. Does that make sense? I always like my father-in-law says that. Does that make sense? Everything he says makes sense. He doesn't need to say that. So I'm going to show you a stream of lies and how Jesus Christ responded to it and how we can respond to it. Most of you have heard this, the temptations of Jesus Christ, so you'll know the story as well. Matthew 4, verses 1 through 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, now think about that. 40 days and 40 nights. 40 days, 40 nights. Afterward, he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So what the devil wanted to do, he wanted Jesus Christ, and he wants us to question who we are. He goes, "If you're the Son of God. If. Ray, if you're a child of God. Arlene, if." Just put your name in there. If. See, if you start to believe, if I'm the child of God, then what you do is he's got you. Because you're starting to question who God is. He does the same with you and me, but listen to what Jesus says back. Man or people, because this includes women. Men, anytime you see that a lot of times where it says man, it's including men and women. Man or people shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Bread is temporary. The word of God is eternal. So here's the thing that's interesting about this. Every word here means the revealed word of God. You ever read a verse and all of a sudden you get revelation on it? You know, like I was teasing with someone the other day. Philippians 4:13. You know, and I can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives me the strength. You think that means something a little bit different to a woman that's delivering a baby? Right? So if we have two children. If I was to say to my wife, man, like I had to travel, I went to Mission Hills on Tuesday. I go, man, I drove 250 miles a day. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. She's like, listen, I delivered two babies. Seriously? And she probably could have delivered them while she was driving a car. I just want to say this about women. You're amazing. I mean, honestly, I take it for granted sometimes. And by the way, when Eve bit into the apple, it's because her dumb husband didn't tell her not to do that. And all the women said? Amen. Oh, come on. All the women said? Amen. And all the men went, I'm not going to say a word. Praise Jesus. So truth alone does not set us free. It's the truth we know. John 8:32 says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus Christ is truth. But if you don't know the truth, you're not going to walk in freedom. I heard something today. They took 350 different topics that's been preached, the most 350 of the most popular topics preached, to see what brings freedom to people. You know what they found? People that actually read their Bible four times or more per week walk in more freedom. Because you're feeding on the word. So I can get up here and preach a sermon, but if you're not feeding, and sometimes, you know what, if you're new to the things of God, man, if you just pick one little verse. I used to, when I first got saved, I had verses that I taped all over my car. I remember one time I was living in Texas, and I was young at the time, maybe 25 or 26, and a guy was hitchhiking. I remember, big Indian. And, you know, 30 years ago, if you picked up a hitchhiker, nobody thought about it. Now it'd be like, you know, you would never do that. So I pick him up, and I really honestly thought, this guy's going to kill me. Because I was out in Texas, and, you know, we're out in the middle of nowhere. So I pick him up. But the thing that was great, I had verses taped all over my car. So as soon as he gets in, he starts going like this. And I thought, this dude thinks I'm crazier than I think he is. You know, but the thing was, is I had come from a life of drugs. I didn't know the Lord. I never went to church the first 21 years of my life. I think I went one time to get a free book, like when I was a kid. But I didn't go to church. So I got saved right at 21. So for me, I had such a hunger for the Lord. And, you know, I've been a Christian for the last 30 years, and I can tell you I've fallen and I've gotten back up, and I've fallen and I've gotten back up. My wife can tell you I've fallen this week. I mean, just the other day I told her, I go, where is God at? Where is God? But see, I was listening to a lie. Matthew 4, verses 5 through 7 says this. Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple. And actually, when you read it, Satan took him to a place that it would have been that he wanted Jesus to see all the surroundings. He wanted him to see what is available to him. So he took him to a place that when he jumped down, you actually wouldn't be able to see the bottom. Does that make sense? So he said, here's what he says to him though. If, once again, if you're the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect you and they will hold you up with their hands so that you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Jesus responded, the scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God. How many know that Satan was actually quoting verses there? Psalm 91 verses 11 and 12. Eli, can you put up Psalm 91 verse 13? Here's what he left off. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample underfoot. Who do you think that's talking about? Satan. So Satan took part of the scripture and quoted it, but he didn't quote the very next verse. That shows you how deceptive he is. He's saying to Jesus, listen, the Bible says. But don't you think Satan's kind of stupid? I mean, like, he's talking to the one that is the Word. But he didn't read the very next one. But see, we know Jesus had to read it because he is the Word. What I think is amazing about Jesus is he went to the temple all the time. He studied the Word. Not only was he the Word, he studied the Word. So the next time the devil tries to tell you if, you tell him, listen, I tread upon you. See, when it says the lion and the cobra, the young lion, we know the Bible talks about Satan as a roaring lion, talks about him as a serpent. But see, we trample him underfoot. He's a defeated foe. Satan will always try to twist things and make us believe something that's not the truth. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you a video. Some of you that's been here, I think Susan Krause, maybe Ruth, Norm, some of the people that's been here for a while has probably seen this. It's a conversation between what you would consider three demons. And if any of you have ever read C.S. Lewis, he had the Screwtape Letters, and it starts to become real confusing. But, you know, I don't know if you guys are this way. When I'm under attack, I start to get a lot of confusion in my head. I start to get a lot of conversations going on. So when you watch this, just think about in your own life how the enemy starts to try to weave a lie, and then I'll come back up and finish.
Look, he actually did rise.
This changes everything.
It does present somewhat of a challenge.
Well, it really all depends.
On us.
And them.
And whatever becomes of all of this.
We still have influence, even after this.
This only makes a difference. If it's true.
And it is true.
So we create a little doubt. Maybe today it appears to be true.
To those who just saw it anyway.
To those who witness it firsthand, maybe.
But in the long run, let's say 100, 1,000, 2,000 years from now,
I doubt if anyone will remember it, let alone believe it. So,
a lie.
Yes, but there has to be something else.
Because a lie doesn't satisfy the emotions. People will always crave an experience.
A feeling. Something that drives them to act.
Wars have been started. Countries divided, kings betrayed.
All because of a ridiculous emotion.
Listen, the truth will still reach far too many people, even if it is clouded and wrapped in deceit, as long as there is just one, driven
by passion.
But passion can lose its fire. Emotions can be easily confused. People will always be the problem.
And our solution.
The way I see it, it's still in the hands of people to share it,
teach it,
and live it.
And when things are in the hands of people, it's always a sure bet that at some point they'll get tired,
lazy,
too busy,
distracted,
scared
because they fear for their lives.
They fear personal rejection,
embarrassment, being ridiculed,
being looked at as freaks,
being excluded.
Yes, we have spun a thousand tales. We will have to be very clever with this one. On this rests all of his promises.
All of his promises. So. We'll have to make them fearful, doubt
by twisting the facts just a little.
And cause them to hate for no real reason. Concoct unanswered animosity. Pass on deep-rooted prejudice from generation to generation. Oh, yes, hatred. Not only directed to them, but dwelling among them.
So that even if it were true, by the time it reached the ears of others, those sharing the truth
would be so hated that it wouldn't even matter. No one would listen to them or want to be like them or have anything to do.
And before you know it, they'd just be discarded as self-righteous fanatics.
And everyone will focus on their flaws.
us.
And they're human.
And we will direct their attention to the
wrong things
and to the
wrong persons.
Taking their eyes off the truth can be just as powerful as a direct lie. We will simply introduce new ways to seek fulfillment.
Personal fulfillment.
Unveil a new God, so to speak. Mother Nature.
Money. Power.
Self-enlightenment.
Self-enlightenment.
Yes. At the root of all absolute truth lay its most powerful adversary. Relatives.
It's true for one. May not be true at all for another.
And what's right for her may not be right for him.
As long as it makes them happy.
And if we can make others think that scripture is some constricting, impossible task, they will lose hope in it.
And as they lose hope, they will lose their passion and their direction.
They will begin to bicker over the truth and allegorize it. And start arguing over things like history,
translation,
authenticity.
And they will plague themselves with ritual to declare some sense of higher purpose without having any joy.
Yes, they will create their own stories, develop their own beliefs.
We will introduce religion
to take the place of relationship.
And they will cling to it
instead of him.
With a simple distortion,
bitterness, and resentment, they will grow to hate one another.
And people will become afraid.
And religion will fight against religion.
And religion against people.
And nation against nation.
And nation against nation.
And nation against nation. And they will be divided because of their misbeliefs.
It will actually come to the point that those who actually believe what happened here today will be rejected, hated,
considered irrelevant and weak,
persecuted, mistreated on every corner
in every nation.
Then they will fear to profess their faith.
Fear to share their story, fear to make a difference.
Fear to help their neighbor.
Fear to worship.
Fear to follow.
Yes.
Him.
And then we have won.
We have won.
Indeed. This is what they will do. They will hate.
And they will lie.
And they will live in fear.
I wonder if that's all it will take.
Well, like we said.
Like we said.
See, right now we live in a world that if you watch the news, it's starting to tell Christians everything that we're against. We're against Muslims, we're against gay marriage, we're against everything. That's what the world tells us. About a year and a half ago, I do a first step ministry that Pastor Steve was leading at the time, and now Pastor Ed. Well, it's kind of in limbo right now, but we would go on Thursday nights, different teams of guys. About a year and a half ago, I had an opportunity to pray with a guy that was a Muslim to receive Christ. So when he come up, you know, sometimes as Christians, I don't know if you guys do this, I fall into the trap of thinking I need to know everything, but thankfully in this situation, I didn't do that. So I said to him, he goes, you know, I'm Muslim and everything. And I go, you know what? I don't care about all that. You're going to know more about your faith than I would anyway. Here's what I want to tell you about is Jesus Christ. So I said, do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins? And he goes, yeah. And I said, let's pray then. And you know, the thing is sometimes I've wasted so much energy on trying to fight with people about all the bad they do, instead of letting them know about the Jesus that saved me from all the bad I was doing. And I think that when we realize that the world is dying and the enemy is lying, we need to start listening to what the Word of God says so we can change people's lives. We are salt and we're light. And the only answer to the world's problems is us. Jesus Christ in us. What did he say? Go into all the world. And that's what we need to do. I'm going to end with this. The devil and his demons fear Jesus Christ. And as Pastor Bob preached, if you were here on Sunday, he goes, he also fears us once we find out our true identity in Jesus Christ. Now the last temptation in the desert. Matthew 4, verses 8 through 11. Next the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, if you will kneel down and worship me. Jesus said, get out of here, Satan, for the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil went away, and the angels came and took care of Jesus. I think it's interesting that Satan would say, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Jesus already had all that. In fact, Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. God, no matter what you hear on TV, no matter what you hear in your own head, no matter what you hear from family or friends, God is the master and owner of it all. There's not a little bit that he's not. He's the owner of it all. See, if you read the book of Job, Satan had to ask for permission to test. In fact, don't you find it interesting that God said to Satan, who are you and where'd you come from? Satan's not who God created. He created Lucifer. But when he showed up, he goes, I don't recognize you. You're twisted now. And I think when we realize if God so sarcastically just ignores Satan, think about what Jesus said again. Get out of here, Satan. I mean, honestly, what would happen when demons would encounter Jesus Christ? What do you have to do with us, Son of the Most High God? They feared, they trembled. Don't you think that they do that too when they see a Christian that is walking in the power of the Holy Spirit? We have that power. We're the answer. Jesus Christ gave you and me the keys to the kingdom and the authority to walk in victory. The question is, and as they were getting ready to say in the video, it's all up to you, us. And you know what? That actually makes me feel good that I have to take some responsibility to change things in my life. If my marriage is bad, that would be because I'm probably not a really good husband. If my kids, my daughter's down here going, oh, by the way, you did really good. But you know, it'd be easy. I mean, I'd love to blame Pastor Steve for all my problems, but I can't do that. You ever get mad, so mad that you blame everybody else? You ever do that? You know, I always tease Suzanne. You know, her dad's written a book. If you're someone new here, maybe you didn't know us, Suzanne's dad wrote a book 20 years ago, I mean, which is pretty amazing. It sold thousands and thousands of copies. So sometimes I get mad, you know, not as much anymore since we've been married for 15 years. I'd get mad and I'd go, I'm sorry I haven't written a book like your dad. See, anybody that's been in a relationship for a while is like, zing. But then you know what happens after that. I sleep on the couch all by myself. And I still haven't written a book. But you know what I mean? It's just stupid stuff like that because you're feeding. You're feeding. So now I try to feed on the things of God because, man, I'm telling you, without Jesus Christ, I'm jacked up. So I need to keep feeding because I'm leaking. So I need to get filled back up every day. God's mercy is new every day. So with that being said, it's like 5 minutes to 8, so I'm going to have my lovely bride close it up because all women in here know when a guy's made a mess, somebody got to come and clean it up, and it's going to be a woman.